I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com. Hello, everyone. Amy here. No, April, once again. I am in the wonderful state of Minnesota in Minneapolis. I am here to go on the show Evine, which is like a home shopping network. Kind of like, well, I won't name the other brands, but you know what home shopping network is. It's live TV. And I do this once every couple months to talk about Uberlube. They have a really hot show called Sexy Summer Nights that will be airing this evening. You can look it up on YouTube. If you look up Evine Dark or Evine After Dark, that's what it's called. You can go look it up and actually watch the footage of it, even though it won't be live then, and see what I'm talking about. It's a whole awesome crew talking about sex toys and pleasure, and there's even some sex education on there. So super awesome and a really cool experience for me to be able to go on live TV, because it's really great practice, as April and I are about to be in the process of filming our own workshop series for Shameless Sex. So that should be coming soon. We're actually filming a 4-week online series for folks to be able to take from the privacy of their own homes. So you don't have to be in Santa Cruz where we are. You can be in Minneapolis if you want. You could probably even do it from Australia and take this course with us. So that is in the works. But that's a little bit about me and where I am. So sending my love out to my beloved April. We will be reunited in a couple days, and we are recording a couple awesome podcasts. We have one on sex and pregnancy coming up, and it's not just about how to still experience pleasure while you're pregnant, but also after childbirth too. We're speaking with someone who is a doula and has a lot of experience herself. She's also tantrica too, so she's bringing in that element. I also have a podcast that we're recording on ganja sex, so cannabis-induced sexuality, but also from a tantric perspective, so from another person who's a tantra practitioner. And another tantra episode, actually, that will be recorded in July. So a lot on more of the energetic and connected sides of sex. But don't worry, if you don't identify with those, we have plenty of other super sexy things coming up in the works. And we love hearing from you and what your interests are. I need to take a look on the survey on our website to see what your most recent inquiries have been. But I know that a lot of you love more the topics related to sexual mastery, you know, how to be a better lover. And in my opinion, anything related to tantra is that. So a lot of that stuff will apply to you. So this episode, I am actually specifically going to answer sex questions, because we have a lot in our inbox, and I'm just going to take this opportunity to answer a number of them. A couple of them have a similar theme. Two of them are actually a theme of someone who is female bodied that orgasms too quickly, whether it's a partner complaining about it, or not complaining, but saying it's an issue, or it's actually someone else saying, I come too quickly as a female body and it's an issue. And I know for a lot of folks out there who are female body who don't come too quickly, or if they feel like it's hard for them to orgasm, you're probably listening like, is there such thing as too quickly? I'm jealous. I want that. There's also a sex question with someone who has a hard time orgasming with a partner, but they can orgasm on their own because they have shame. Question about sex addiction. And what else? A polyamorous question. So how to navigate polyamory. So I'm just going to dive in and start answering some sex questions for y'all. If this is your question that you sent, us. We really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All these questions, I think, are from like early May. So that's how long it takes us to get through questions because we are super busy. Like we've said in the past, we're trying to also answer them on Facebook Live when April and I are together. So if you're not already a friend of mine on Facebook Live or a fan of Shameless Sex, I recommend doing both so that you can also see our Facebook Live answers to sex questions. And follow us on Instagram too, on Shameless Sex Podcast on Instagram. We do some things on there, and we are always posting fun facts and sex education stuff and photos of us and our adventures. So be sure to stay connected to us through all of these wonderful social outlets. Okay, so let's go for question number one. We're going to keep this person anonymous, and their name is Jay. So Jay says, and I've kind of paraphrased this a little bit, my wife and I are interested in exploring three ways, and we've been getting close with a married man who now wants to leave his wife to join us in a polyamorous relationship. I'm feeling stressed about him leaving his wife for us. We like him and want to be with him, but I'm feeling conflicted. This will be my first experience with a man. Please help. Okay, so there's a lot of things here. One, this is a new experience. So there's a new desire with this person and their wife to explore three ways, which has led to specifically a three-way with another man. And so this is brand new experience. So my first thing is like, this is a brand new experience. And so this person, Jay, you don't even know if it's going to be your jam. Maybe you think, oh yeah, maybe you do. Maybe you actually you've always had feelings for men, and now this is your first time finally getting to do it. And so maybe that's feeling really aligned with you. But I guess what you don't know for sure, because you've never done it, is if you really are poly, because you've never done that. I'm not sure if you've said you've never had a threesome, but it sounds like it's the first time with your wife. And this is your first experience with a man. So there's a lot of firsts here. And my suggestion when it comes to firsts is to explore them really intentionally in a way that feels really safe. Because if it gets really messy, it can be kind of traumatic, and also sometimes maybe not even feel like it was that worth it if you find out it's not your thing, right? So say you've never been with a man and this is your first experience with a man, you try it, it's not your thing. Or maybe it is your thing, but this particular man, you don't really get along, and they left their wife for you, and now there's that pressure or that hurt and that mess to deal with. My first inkling would be to experience being with a man and or a three-way with someone where there was a lot less baggage, you know, where someone wasn't changing their whole life to come and join your life. And I'm not saying that that's not okay for them to do that. You know, if they want to leave their wife to be with you and your wife, and that's feeling aligned for you as well, then that's everyone's choice, right? And it could be really hurtful if they did choose to do that. And you found you just, you know, along the way, it's this discovery of, hey, I'm actually not really into being with men, or hey, I'm actually not really into being in a polyamorous relationship, but you just changed your whole life and here we are. So I think that you're being hesitant or conflicted for a reason, because your intuition is telling you that there's something in there that feels a little scary and maybe a little conflicting and unstable. And I would listen to that. You know, our intuition, the messages that our mind and body, well, specifically our body gives us, a mind can play tricks. It can do all kinds of fear tactics that aren't even really that rational and can get in the way. But when you're feeling in your gut deep down that there is something conflicting about this, that it's actually could end up really messy, I would listen to that. And not saying completely call it off, but have more conversations about it. Go really, really slowly before you dive into anything, because that gut feeling is usually there for a reason. You know, it can be there related to past trauma and shame and things to be worked with, but it can also be there because it just has this deeper knowing of like, we're not really in alignment here. So my suggestion would be to have those deeper conversations with this person, with your wife, really feel it out and play out all the what ifs with them. You know, let them know, you know, this is my first experience with a man. What if this isn't for me? Or this is our first experience with polyamory. What if this isn't for us and you've left your wife? what do we do then? You know, that sounds really scary for you and for us. Do we really even want to go down that route? Maybe my wife and I, should go and experience this with someone else in another way to make sure that's even our thing. Or maybe before you leave your wife, we don't even try anything sexually intimate. We just spend some time getting to know each other more and see how that feels. So just being really, really careful about that. It seems like that's what your question is more related to than it is about how to do poly. We have episodes in the past on polyamory. Actually, our most recent one, there was just 3 tips to polyamory, how to do it successfully. And I mean, we could record 20 podcasts on how to do polyamorous relationships. I guess what I will say in this case for bringing in someone new, I kind of already touched on this, but for poly to work really well, it's helpful to have a lot of conversations and a lot of communication, almost to the point where you feel like you're talking about feelings and the relationship dynamic all the time. And of course, all polyamorous relationships are different. Some people don't practice, you know, radical honesty, or they don't have as much open communication, or they do more don't ask, don't tell. Although I think some poly people might say that that's not, I guess, fully poly, although I guess it can be. Fully poly sounds offensive to some people who that are practicing that, so I'm sorry if that felt like it was a hit to you. Some people choose that, though. Some people don't want to know. They would just say, okay, we're going to be in this open thing, and the arrangement is that we can be intimate with other people. Maybe it's just when we travel or we're out of town, and then we come back together and we don't even need to talk about it. That is a thing for people. Some people have sort of like an ethical cheating thing set up because that's what works for them. It's just easier not to know. Some people want to know everything, or some people, one partner wants to know everything and the other one doesn't. So it really just depends on what works for you. In this case, you know, it's sounding like you're all going into it knowing that that's the arrangement of what you would choose. So talk about everything, and especially all the feelings. Talk about the what ifs, talk about the fears and the hard stuff and the things that you're like, I don't really want to talk about this because I don't want to cause a scene or take up too much space. Those are usually the things that are worthy of going into, that really need that time and care. So to me, a lot of poly relationships, or just relationships that are really connected and deep, it's almost like communication. Like the thing I say about go slower than slow than and go slower than that. Go communicate, and then communicate more, and then whatever you thought that was, communicate more than that, if that makes any sense. Like there's almost like there's a need for a lot of it in this. Then when you bring in another person, for whatever, it's a 3-way or for poly or open or even a swinging lifestyle, I feel like adding more communication is always really, really helpful. So that's what I will leave it up with. That. That's, I think, will be good for you for your intro to this dynamic. You sent this 2 months ago. I'm sure you've already dove deep into this or found out another way. I'm sorry this information is coming late. But hopefully this is helpful, at least to other listeners who might be wondering what to do about this. Okay. Question 2. This is from Kay. How do you deal with and control an orgasm that's too strong? I've been having sex and orgasms for over a year, and I'm with one partner. But the orgasms lately have been so strong, sometimes I end up crying. It's an overwhelming flood of really amazing feelings, but it's too much for me. And they also have a second question. How do you feel secure when your man watches porn? So this question was sent from someone who I believe identifies as female. So this person is feeling like they are... their orgasm is so strong that they end up crying, and it's a flood of amazing feelings, but it's too much for me. So my question is, what do you mean by too much? And is it really too much for you, and why? Or is it also too much for your partner? Because you're describing these overwhelming flood of really amazing feelings. And it's also accompanied by crying. So what about that is too much if there's some amazingness there? Like, obviously, there's some good feeling there, but then there's tears. So maybe the too much is that it feels really deeply emotional. And my inkling here would be that you have a worthiness barrier about being too much.
taking up too much space, and you know, having sex with your partner, you have these crygasms where you get this incredible flood of emotion pouring out of you, and then there's tears, but it's just like it's all this energy moving through you where you're just like vibrating and releasing deeply, which is beautiful. God, I want that right now. I can like feel a tingle in my pussy as I say that, actually, which is rare for me, so I really like that. But yeah, why is this? What is too much about it? Is it your partner's reaction? Is it that they don't know what to do? Is it for you that you feel like you're taking up too much energetic space? Is it because it's accompanied with tears, which usually is socially stigmatized as meaning sadness and something that we don't want to feel or go into? Or if that's there, then there must not be good or pleasure. Because what I do know about crygasms is that they are a profoundly deep and important release for the body. It can really heal old trauma, or even if there isn't trauma there, just release a whole bunch of old stuck stuff in a really beautiful, powerful way. A lot of times that's accompanied with orgasms that are more internal, like from the G-spot or from cervical orgasms. And so they're just like really vibrating all through the body. And I know so many people that are trying to learn how to have these orgasms, including myself. I've totally had them. I have not mastered the art on how to give them to myself or receive them whenever I want to. Right. Granted, I haven't dedicated as much time. Like, I'm very aware that if I sat down with myself or with my partner and just like, okay, this is going to be our focus, and let's work at this, you know, many, many different sessions, I would probably learn the mastered art of that. And I have no idea why I haven't done that. I'm honestly, like, this is one of my things. This is just a side note. Here's a tangent. Like, I spend so much time, I love my work, and I'm so much time being like super busy that I don't take time to master these things, but I'm just spending so much time helping other people. And I know that I have the ability, just as you do, all you listeners. And for this person, you have this ability. This is happening for you. It's feeling like too much. And there's something about you that wants to turn it down or off. I feel a personal thing because of my own desire to experience what you have. So this is a biased opinion. I feel the sadness that you want to get rid of this amazing experience that you have. And I also support you in doing whatever it is that you want to do, because if something's feeling like it's just way out of your element, then yeah, you have the right to shift that. And what I would imagine would happen, though, is if you start to shift this, meaning you just start to pull back when it feels like the orgasm's coming on, kind of like what the info I give to male-bodied folks who feel like they come too quickly. And they want to learn to not do that. It's a matter of pulling back. When you start to feel the orgasm is getting close, you slow down your movement, you slow down your breath, or maybe even stop altogether and take a break before it comes on. And then you keep going, and moving really slowly, and you keep doing that and building up again, but you stop and slow down right before the orgasm comes on. And then eventually they give themselves the orgasm, which actually usually ends up in a really powerful orgasm because you've been edging, you know, building it up. But my guess is that if you start to put on this like kind of psychological choice to turn it down or turn it off, you could also create a little bit of a subconscious block that will, if at some point you wanted to turn it back on again, you'll have some work to do to get it back. Because we do have the ability to do that. If we don't like something, you know, if we have shame about something we're doing, you know, we're squirting or having crygasms or whatever, and we shame ourselves or someone else shames us, we have this ability to do this turn off that we don't even, it's not like a button that we press. It's this subconscious process where our mind and body work together to turn something off or turn it down. So we have that power to do that by choosing it and believing it and shaming ourselves. But what happens later is if you want it back, then you have to work to turn it back on. So it's all possible for you. If you want to pull away from it, then start pulling away from it. And I guess my suggestion is to question why it's too much and whom is it too much for? Your second question is, how do you feel secure when your man watches porn? So I'm also guessing from your two questions here that you have some shame about sexuality in general, that perhaps as that this is a theory that maybe with the first question that women shouldn't be as orgasmically powerful as you are experiencing, and the one about porn, you know, that there's shame in men watching porn, meaning that it's a personal threat to you. Just because someone watches something or someone doesn't mean that they don't love you, that they don't care about you, or that you're not enough. It's entertainment. It's something that's a quick dopamine rush. You know, you watch porn or you use a vibrator and you get a quick dopamine rush, a really quick orgasm. It's exciting. It's new. People love newness. It doesn't mean that they don't love their partner. It doesn't mean they want to cheat on their partner either. It just means that they like newness and it excites them. So my suggestion would be is to reframe the way that you think about porn, and when someone watches it, to really tell yourself and understand that it's entertainment and it doesn't speak to how they feel about you, to not take it personally and make it about you, to allow it to be for your partner. Now, if your partner's doing it like, you know, 5 times a day, or if they are actually choosing that over having sex with you, then that's something to look at. Then that actually does speak to the relationship. And maybe it doesn't speak to you personally. It just speaks to their addictive tendencies that they could do some work on. But it doesn't sound like you're stating that. It just states that sounds like you're saying that they like watching porn and brings up some personal stuff for you. So reframing it to be that, to know that it's not about you. It's about newness and excitement and a quick dopamine rush from the stimulus, and to try not to shame your partner for it when it comes up, to take ownership of, because that's what happens a lot of times when we shame someone, and I don't know if you are shaming them, by the way, maybe you're just internalizing this, but a lot of times when people shame someone else, it's because they have fear in them and they don't know how to handle it. They don't understand something. And so it comes out as shame or a judgment. And it's really hurtful and can really affect the other person. So instead of voicing that, like, oh, why are you doing this? This is not normal. It must mean that you don't love me, or, you know, whatever. To say to them, hey, I'm noticing something comes up for me when you watch porn. I feel this like fear, maybe this inadequacy in myself, like I'm not enough. And I like the rational part of me knows that that's probably not what's true here, but I just want to bring that up to you. I'm not telling you like you can't watch it or that I'm judging you or it's a bad thing. I'm just sharing with you my feelings. So maybe we can talk about it as a means of you still being able to do the thing that you like, watching porn, and me feeling safe about it, and just see what happens. Hopefully that helps. Okay. Another question from Jay. Anonymous. Jay. Is there such a thing as sex addiction, or is that called just being human? I like the way they worded this. Sex addiction is an interesting thing. I've heard so many different perspectives on sex addiction, on it not being a real addiction to it being a real addiction. Okay. Here's my personal opinion. I'll give you some references first. I believe in addiction, that it is a thing, or compulsion, but I don't believe it is a genetic thing that people are born with. The science that I've been looking at is related to addiction being more related to trauma from people's past. So people find the addiction is there to serve as a coping mechanism for something that was really painful or that they, you know, didn't get when they were younger. So it's filling a void. You know, there was some sort of experience that someone had where they were in trauma or they were in fear, they were in terror. And they developed this coping mechanism, and maybe it didn't happen right after that too. It could be you had the trauma age 5, and then when you're a teenager, you still are carrying this trauma with you, and then you start to develop this addiction for something else. You find this other thing later that is is helping you feel good temporarily in some way. It's like filling the void for some sort of feeling, whether it's helping you numb out, helping you feel more more alive or connected to other people. But what it ends up resulting in is in actually like a disconnection with the self, whether it's addiction to a drug or to porn, or to, you know, working out, or even with like different eating disabilities. That's the wrong word. Eating disorders. Related a lot, oftentimes from what I'm seeing, the research is related to trauma. And this is a newer perspective that I'm seeing. I love the stuff that Dr. Gabor Mate has done. You can look up, if you look up in the podcast app, just look up Gabor Mate, G-A-B-O-R-M-A-T-E. He does a lot of work on addiction and it being related to trauma. So I would put sex addiction in the same category, and same with the porn addiction. I'm going to put that in the same category, that it's filling a void for something, that for some sort of trauma, some sort of hurt or old wound that has not been tended to. So a sex addiction would probably be more so a worthiness wound, a wound around not receiving love and affection, and that having sex with either a lot of people or just having a lot of sex is filling that void and making it so one doesn't have to sit in the pain of the unworthiness with themselves or the disconnection with themselves, but instead filling the void, they go and have a lot of sex. And there's other ways that can look too. That's just one way that can look. But I would say that, yes, it's a real thing, most likely, because it's just filling a void from some wound that is desire and love. And there's ways to work with that. And I would say the best way is to go work with a really well-licensed therapist on the old wound or trauma. And there's actually groups for sex addicts that so you can receive support. I don't think just talking about your issue is really helpful, unless it's a really light trauma or a light wound. But if it's really deep, really heavy, then I get help from someone. Get help from there are a lot of therapists that I love, especially for PTSD, like deep trauma. EMDR therapy, EMDR is really amazing for that. I love Hakomi therapists as well. If you can't afford therapy, there are often things like family services, counseling centers that are available in a lot of cities where you can get really affordable therapy for like $30 an hour. So it's available. Check it out. But yes, sex addiction is a real thing. And in my opinion, it is something that is based on trauma that can be worked with. Another question. E asks, another anonymous person, E, my wife has orgasms so fast, like within seconds, and she is not a fan of multiple orgasms. That makes me almost feel like a Me Too guy. Do you girls have any solutions? So this was kind of a tricky one, but it sounded similar to the other one that someone sent about having too many orgasms and it's too much for them. So this person, their wife has orgasms really quickly, and their wife doesn't like having a lot of orgasms, they're not a fan of it. And then there's the part about this makes him feel like a Me Too guy, meaning like, because he's the one touching her and she's having these multiple orgasms and she's not into it, then he's feeling like he's a bad guy. This is what I paraphrase that, of course. So this is just my guess. I think it will kind of coincide with what I said before. Too fast for whom, right? Like, why is the orgasm that's happening too fast perceived as too fast? Because when female bodies have orgasms too fast or quickly, it doesn't mean that their bodies often can receive more touch after. They don't have the same refractory period that a penis owner would have because they're not, you know, don't have to deal with sperm production and all that stuff. So is it that it's too fast and it's affecting the ability for you two to continue connecting? Is it too fast because either you or she or both of you think that that's not what sex should look like, especially for a woman? And I'm reading that she is not a fan of multiple orgasms. I'm wondering why. Why is it a unpleasant thing or a bad thing for her to experience multiple orgasms? Is it because she doesn't like the physical experience of having orgasm at all or having multiples? Is it feeling overwhelming and exhausting? Is it feeling like she shouldn't because she's taking up too much energetic space because you're not doing that? Is it because you are uncomfortable with it and you're kind of like, whoa, this is a lot. Why are you having so many orgasms? I'm only having, you know, one in a session. And most women I've slept with, this is not the case. There's something wrong with you, or you're different, or this isn't normal. I have so many questions. So I actually would need a lot more information to fully answer this. But my best suggestion would be to embrace it for both of you. Unless it's bringing up like a trauma response for her, like maybe the orgasms are bringing up some old scary stuff. And so then that's something for her to work on maybe with a therapist. But if the orgasms are feeling pleasurable, but it's just kind of like some frustration and shame with that in that she feels like she shouldn't have them because that's not what sex should look like, or because she's a woman, or maybe that's what you feel like, I would reframe that because, pleasure is pleasure and pleasure is awesome. And it is, a really wonderful thing for people to share and experience as well. So if there's some reframing that can happen for both of you, I feel like on the other side of that is a whole bunch of super awesome, connected, juicy, orgasmic sex for both of you. So yeah, I don't think there's such a thing as too much pleasure or too much orgasm unless it's getting in the way of like your normal everyday life. Like you can't go to work because you're having too many of them. That's one thing. But otherwise, embrace that shit. It's awesome. I'm jealous. Hopefully that helps. And I guess I didn't sympathize with you too much of your experience of feeling like a Me Too guy. I get that. You know, if she's, you're touching her and she's saying like, this is too much, and not your touch, but the orgasms are too much, and she's having a problem with it. And then you're feeling like it's almost your fault. Then yeah, that's hard. And maybe makes you feel like you want to take a step back. So the reframing probably has to start more so with her embracing the fact that she's awesome and like super orgasmically charged, and that most women are jealous of that. And then get her getting fully on board for it, and then you getting fully on board for it as well. So hopefully that helps. But my solution would not be to get rid of the orgasms. I would not prefer that. Okay. Another question. This person used the name Unsatisfied. Okay. Unsatisfied asks, I am a woman and I've been seeing a wonderful man for about 6 months now. We have great sex, but an old problem keeps showing its ugly head. I've been sexually active for a number of years now, not tons of partners, but plenty of sexual experiences, and I have never once been able to be brought to orgasm by my lover. This new guy I'm seeing wants desperately for me to tell him what I do to get me off. He encourages me to play with myself. Basically, he does and says all the right things, and when we're in bed together, everything feels so good and so amazing, but for whatever reason, I can't let go of whatever is holding me back. To let go of whatever unconscious shame I may have surrounding sex, having grown up in a Christian household, and zone into my body and allow myself to experience my orgasm, an orgasm with my partner. So that's the struggle. There's shame. I masturbate regularly and have for years. I can always bring myself to orgasm when I'm alone, but even when I get down with myself when I'm in bed with a partner, it's almost as if the nerve endings are dulled down there. And what would normally do it for me when I'm alone no longer works when the pressure is on and there's someone else in the room. Please help. Okay, dearest Unsatisfied. So this is your brain. This is your mind. This is shame. This is definitely all about a mental block here, because you're saying, you know, you can masturbate and give yourself pleasure with, and that's easy for you. You know, and you know how to do that. You know what works, and it totally works for you. And then when you come together with a partner, all of a sudden your body turns off. And even if you touch yourself with your own hands, the same way you normally would alone, it's like you can't even feel anything. And then when they touch you, it's the same thing. So this is an example of, it's definitely not your body. It's definitely your mind and your brain, and a block related to some sort of shame or fear. Fear in being seen, fear in being witnessed, fear and maybe a worthiness thing and not in taking up too much space. This seems to be a theme for a lot of these questions. But that's super common, especially for women, because we live in the post-hysteria era, and there still is this idea that, like, you know, there's like the crazy wild screaming woman, you know, no one wants that, it's way too much, you know, she needs to calm down, stop crying. And this happens with orgasms too, and just taking up energetic space around sexuality. We still live in a penis-centric culture where there's a lot more safety in male bodies taking up space, and that's what we see on TV. It's a lot more about men's pleasure, and, you know, they're the ones doing the doing, and much more geared towards the movements that we see on TV and in porn is much more geared towards what their body's like. So this all is all affecting a lot of people and their sexuality. So there could be a number of things. So that's one suggestion. Is it that when you're with someone, there becomes a fear of you taking up too much space, that there's this receiving barrier. Like when you start to receive, you go in your head and there almost is a story of, I'm not worthy of receiving here. And maybe you don't even have this story in your conscious mind. It could be this underlying subconscious story. So that's one thing. Or it's the pressure, like the performance pressure. So I'm on the spot. They're looking at me. It's a lot to take in. And then you start to go right in your head into the stories of, I'm not going to be able to come. This isn't going to work. I can't feel anything. I don't want to let them down, you know, all that stuff. And that prohibits you from really being present for the pleasure that's even possible. And in turn makes it so you can't feel, you know, your body numbs out or turns off. So those are just some potential options. I mean, what it really sounds like is there's definitely a part of you going in your head, not being present for your body, and your body turning off, because your body isn't completely numbed off from touch when you touch yourself. Although I do have a question now. Perhaps have you ever received some sort of trauma from being touched by someone else? Either you having sex with someone else or them, you know, touching you with their hands or whatever that is, where it created this trauma, and now this story that being touched with someone else there or by them doesn't feel good. And so your body numbed out and turned off. And so even if you're in that environment with them and they're still there, but you're touching yourself, it still stays numb because there's some old trauma there that hasn't been worked on. So there's a lot of things here, but it's definitely something going on in your head. And you grew up in a Christian household, and so you're pretty clear that there is some shame that you've stated. I'm not saying all Christians have shame, but you've said you're ready to let go of some unconscious shame. It sounds like you don't have shame around masturbation because you can touch yourself alone, but it might, again, be that shame around touching yourself in front of someone else, and that's not okay, whether it's based on being a woman or whatever that is. So I would get really clear on where that comes from. And the way to do that is when you start to touch yourself in front of your partner or be touched by them, pay attention to the thoughts. And instead of just like the one of the thoughts is, I don't feel anything, I'm numb. But what else is there? What are the stories going on in your head? Is it, I want this to be over soon, I'm taking too much space, I'm really nervous, what are they thinking, am I taking too long, da-da-da-da-da, all of that, or I shouldn't be doing this. So take note of what those stories are, so that maybe you can piece together what the storyline is and where it comes from. Also take note of your body and what it's doing. You know, is your heart racing really rapidly? Do you feel nauseous in your stomach? Can you even feel your body at all? Or are you just like in your head? Do you start to disassociate and leave your body? These are all worthy things to look at. If you are starting to disassociate and leave your body, I would say there's definitely some deeper trauma there that would be helpful to be worked on with a therapist. If you are just feeling like you're kind of in your head and stuck there in the blocks, you can kind of feel, but it feels like pretty numb, but you can kind of feel, then it probably more so is related to a shame-based storyline that can be worked on. So, you're not broken. That's the really great news. This is something that you can work on. It's going to take time. And part of that is starting to notice what's happening in the mind and the body. Once you notice what the storyline is and where it's coming from, doing the work there, either with a therapist, if it's feeling really deep, or if it's not, if it's feeling like just a story that's hanging out in there of I'm taking up too much space, et cetera, you could still work with a therapist on worthiness stuff, always helpful. Or check out Brené Brown's Men, Women, and Worthiness Audible book. It's wonderful. Or on top of that, then what you do is you just start to notice when the brain does that, when you're touching yourself or being touched, and then just come back to feeling your body as it's being touched. And it might feel numb for a little while as you're starting to feel safe again in there being witnessed by someone else. And continue to practice that with someone and just stay open to it. And if you feel that numbness, don't allow yourself to go into the brain, to the thought process of this isn't going to feel good, I'm not going to orgasm, all those doubtful stories of doubt, and just come back to the sensations. And one thing people miss out on a lot is they kind of look at touch as like this on a spectrum of like all or nothing, meaning it's either I don't feel anything, so I'm completely numb, or I feel orgasm and a whole bunch of pleasure and tingling. There's a whole gray area in there. And if you just start to pay attention to the little sensations, like, okay, yeah, now I feel a little something on my clitoris and there's a little tingle there, or like a little bit of warmth or a little bit of like thump or throbbing, or, but it's not big, but it's little. And you start to really bring some awareness to the subtle things. Then through that, you might be able to finally notice the even bigger things. And I believe it's my friend Mauricio who teaches orgasmic breath or breath orgasm. And he actually did a podcast on breath orgasm. You can go back and listen to that. He says that he is a teacher who states that the big things come through the little things, right? So if we completely miss all the little things, all those like subtle and slight sensations, sometimes that means because we're not paying attention to those, we're then blocked to go to the bigger things. The bigger things are like the next level that we need to pay attention to the little things to move forward onto the big ones. So those are just some options there to play with. Bringing in some awareness to the thought process, looking into is there deeper trauma here, bringing more presence into the touch, and then noticing the more subtle feelings that you have in your body and staying present for those as a means towards eventually noticing, but not being set on the bigger things. Like, don't have goals to experience orgasm. And that's another thing, you know, if you have a goal, like, I'm not going to come, I want to come, I'm not going to come, that's blocking you. So getting rid of the goal and asking your partner to get rid of goals too. Asking your partner, I want to explore this touch with you. I have this mental block, you know, I feel like it's from X, Y, and Z. I'm trying to be more present for the touch. But as we touch, can we just not be focused on goals and just be focused on, you know, have the only goal be pleasure? And that will really help me. And are you on board for that? And it'd be good for both of you, because then they won't feel pleasure in giving you an orgasm too. So that might be a thing. You know, your partner sounds wonderful. And if they're super adamant about giving you an orgasm, that can be a lot of pressure for you and for them. So to get away from that, and quite often when people get rid of that pressure and it's not about orgasm, it's now just about pleasure, all of a sudden they have more orgasms. So, and this isn't always, but that is an option for you. I think that's it, right? Yeah, those are all of the questions I was going to answer today. Wow, I really powered through that. Woohoo! So hopefully that was helpful. I loved all of these questions. I think, and they're so dynamic. You know, one is like the struggle with having an orgasm. The other one's like too much orgasm. What do we do? Oh my goodness. So yeah, I just love the diversity that is the human experience. It is just like, and that's the premise of our podcast, is really to expose and embrace the diversity of our experiences and the way we are as sexual beings, and also to teach that it all starts with us, and we have so much potential to shift where we're at. And of course, if we have deep trauma, sometimes we need to shift with help, but the possibilities are limitless, and I love that. It's absolutely beautiful. So thank you for sending us these questions and sharing your vulnerability. We absolutely love it. please continue to do so. Please don't get mad at us if we take forever to answer them. On that note, I am coaching on the Juice Box app. If you have iPhones, you can download the Juice Box app. And if you have a sex question that you want answered like right away, you can either request to work with me on there, or you can actually work with other coaches on there. And I'm not available to work with everyone because I have a limited capacity for how many people I can work with. But it's a text-based app where you ask sex questions through a chat, and we answer within 24 hours, either myself or other coaches. It's really affordable. It's easy. There's not really much of a commitment. I think the minimum you sign up for is like 1 week, and then after that, if it's not for you, then you don't have to do it. But go check out Juicebox, and if you use the coupon code SHAMELESSSEX, then I believe you get 60% off of your first, maybe it's first week, your first installment. So yeah, so if you're really wanting support right away, and if you feel like you can wait, send us your sex questions to shamelesssexpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send them in on our website at shamelesssex.com. There's a forum on there. We also love your reviews on iTunes. So please, if you love us, it's really, really helpful. It only takes you like 30 seconds or a minute if you want to really write a really beautiful review, to go and review us on iTunes. If you're listening to us on iTunes, it helps us, our podcast, grow. It helps us to get searched. So we really appreciate that. Also, if you continue to support our sponsors, right now we're sponsored by Pure Pleasure, which is my mom's adult store that I am also kind of like a silent partner co-owner of, but she runs it. So she's pretty much our sponsor. Like, I'm not sponsoring my own podcast. My mom is, because it's essentially her shop now. So you get the coupon code, you get 15% off with all purchases using coupon code SHAMELESSSEX. No, that's not right. It's SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com. It's all high quality adult toys and all kinds of good stuff. And our last sponsor that we have is Margins Wine. That's our wine sponsor. And we are very picky about wine, so we are not just sponsored by some wine we don't love. We love Margins Wine. So go check out marginswine.com. It's a woman-owned and operated wine company in Santa Cruz, so it's local to us. She makes raw wine, which is essentially as organic as it gets, and it's really, 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 really good wine. We love it. So if you like good wine and you want to drink a glass with us virtually, maybe while we drink a glass while we podcast, go to Margins Wine and sign up for her newsletter, and you get to them all the first offerings and first dibs on news from her when she has new wine. Those are all my announcements. I think, this is releasing on Tuesday. I don't know if this will still be the case, but there's one spot left for my workshop in Santa Cruz on July 7th and 8th. It's a couples weekend retreat that I am putting on. It's a two-day retreat. It's not overnight. It's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. And there is one spot for a couple left. And although I don't know by the time this airs if that will be the case, but you can sign up at purepleasureshop.com if you are interested. And I would love to see you there. We're going to do all kinds of yummy work with couples, on from communication stuff to building more connection, to yummy stuff like touch, conscious erotic touch, tantra, really just a means of bringing couples closer together. And then lastly, what else did I have? Last thing, I'm also teaching another workshop in Santa Cruz. It's a Kink for Beginners workshop. It is on July 24th. It's only $15, super cheap, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Pure Pleasure. You can learn about that at purepleasureshop.com as well. And that is my announcements for the July classes. I have more coming in August as well. I love you all so much. I love April. I miss her dearly. She is my fave. And as April would say, see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.